I love the theme for the conference, coffee, although I do not love coffee. I've tried to love it. Every time we move, I get a coffee machine and I think, okay, I'm going to drink coffee and have my devotions like a woman should. And after a couple days, I'm like, I cannot stand this. So try something else. But I didn't make it there for Mrs. Butterfield's skit last night. I was helping with the desserts, but my friend told Mrs. Angela told me about it, and I thought, oh, that brought back a memory. When we were on deputation, we were missionaries in the Philippines for over 6 years, mm-hmm. and when we were on deputation, there was a family that they were going to Seattle, and they had their display, and they had this big bowl of what I thought was chocolate-covered raisins. So I love chocolate. Now, if you put chocolate is what I would choose, so I made a beeline right to that bowl, and I took 3 or 4. Oh, yes. Put them right in my mouth, about 3 or 4 bites into it, I realized this is not chocolate-covered raisins, this is chocolate-covered coffee beans. And then I made a beeline right to the bathroom. no, thank you. So I wanted to have a sign stand in front of the display and say, this is not chocolate-covered raisins. But you know what? Probably helped their support because so many people like coffee. But anyway, isn't that the way it is sometimes in our lives when God changes our direction or something happens in our life and we want to stand there and say, wait, this is not what I signed up for. But God says, this is exactly what you need. And we're going to have a lesson today, a heavenly brew about finding joy in God's plan for your life. So if you can open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this will be our text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And we'll start off with talking about joy. Joy, the definition of joy is a very glad feeling, happiness, delight, cheerfulness, pleasure, refreshment, playfulness, merriment, rejoicing, high spirits, and celebration. God wants us to have joy in our lives. Now, the opposite of joy would be complaining or weeping or wailing. And how many times do our lives show more of maybe the opposite, complaining or crying and being dissatisfied with life? I personally love to be around happy people. Maybe that's why I just really love Mrs. Wilkerson. I told her that when her and her husband came to the Philippines, I said, you were my favorite speaker when I was there in college and when we were here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I just said, your joy is such a blessing to me. And I told her that, and I love her. Joyful people encourage me and help me to look to the bright side of life. A woman with a balanced life, a life filled with joy, is motivating. She doesn't think that life is boring, nor is she fearful. She motivates others to seek Christ and to be content in Him. A lady with a heavenly brew lifestyle is growing and fresh, excited and exciting, challenging, energetic, creative, learning, and willing to share what she is learning. When the brew of our lives is something other than heavenly, that is a warning sign that we, as children of God, need to get our focus back on our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll look at just one verse right now, and then we'll go through the rest. But speaking of Jesus Christ, verse number 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This passage tells us how we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory no matter what is going on in our lives at any moment. Number 1, the partnership with Jesus Christ. We have a partnership with Jesus Christ, and it starts the day that we humble ourselves and admit that we are sinners and ask Jesus to come into our lives and dwell in us and to be our Savior. This partnership then continues as we make walking with Christ a priority. And we need to schedule every day time to spend with our Lord in His reading His Word, in prayer, and as He reveals Himself and reveals His truths to us through His Word, spending time meditating on His truths. We ought to make this a priority, not just because we're supposed to do it as good Christians, but because this is how the Holy Spirit changes our brew or life into a heavenly life. This is how Jesus works in us and through us, which is God's will for our lives. It is a heavenly life that God can use for His honor and glory. People will see the difference between you and the world, the unsaved world, and will want to know how they can have the same love and joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit that we exhibit by the grace of God. in letter A. It gives us an eternal hope on earth. Verse number 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Number 1, through his mercy. God is so merciful. It is important to daily remember all that Christ has done for us in rescuing us from eternal hell by dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And ladies, so many times we take that for granted. I do. And so many times God wants to remind us, I've done so much for you. And we need to keep that on the forefront of our thoughts. God's mercy in our life is just so amazing. When we forget the goodness and works of our awesome God, there will be an imbalance in our brew. And as a result, our lives will not be heavenly. Isn't that true? When we forget God's goodness, all of a sudden our lives aren't so heavenly anymore. And we start exhibiting the fruits that God doesn't want us to exhibit. We all go through times when our brew is just plain not heavenly. And what is important is to confess those times when the ingredients of our life are not pleasing to Christ, and then ask God to give you strength to replace those bad fruits or bad ingredients with good fruits by the Holy Spirit of God. And I've just been so thankful for pastor's messages on Sunday morning. Fruit by the bushel, it's been awesome just to see all that God has for us and all he wants to do through us. It's amazing, and our God is so great, and his word is so powerful. And we ought to abide in his mercy. Number 2, through the resurrection of Jesus. Now, by the look of some Christian women, and probably by the look of myself sometimes, you would think that we have no hope at all. We have a risen Savior. He's conquered death and the grave, and yet we still live sometimes as if we have no hope. Now, there's no guarantees on this earth, right? I mean, we just moved here a month ago. We moved here from the Philippines, and we've started all over. We pretty much gave away everything we had, and which was awesome. It was so much fun. And I mean, because our church members, they don't have a lot, so it was great to be able to give to them. And so we've started over. So we've been able to buy some things, a vehicle and some furniture for our house. And when you spend that money, you want a guarantee, right, that it's going to last for a while. But usually, we don't get much of a guarantee. But I'm so thankful that when Jesus rose from the grave, that was his guarantee. That we have eternal life, that our sins are paid for in full. And what a blessing to have that guarantee, to know no matter what happens in this life, that we have a home in heaven because of our wonderful Savior Jesus. And we need to think upon our hope that we have in Christ daily. Meditate upon him as God reveals himself to us through his word, and let our light shine. Now, how do we let our light shine, ladies? There's so many different ways, but one way that's free and very easy that we can do every day with everyone that we meet is smile, right? It's a gift that we can give to everyone. And if smiling doesn't come easy to you, practice. When I was a young girl, when my grown teeth, my adult teeth came in, I had a really crooked smile. And I wanted straight teeth so badly. And I used to take those colored paper clips and I would unwind them and I'd put it in my mouth and I'd walk around and smile like I had a retainer, because I really wanted to have, you know, braces someday. And God was so good to my father, was able to get me braces. And once I got those braces off, you couldn't stop me from smiling. I was just so thankful that my teeth were fixed, because I really had bad teeth. But think about what Jesus has done for us. He died and shed his blood. He came to this earth just to pay for our sins. We were bound to go to hell to pay for our sins for eternity. And Jesus, we're now free from the eternal punishment of hell. And just think about where we are now. We have a home in heaven that God has promised. How much more should we rejoice about that? We have a reason to smile for the rest of our lives and for eternity. We need to believe every word of God. It is powerful and true. We need to take God at his word, and then you will experience fullness of joy. And obviously, we cannot take God at his word if we're not in his word. And we need to be in his word to be fed. And not just a small little snack, but a meal that nourishes us so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Psalm 16:11, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now we must come into the presence of God to have the fullness of joy. Letter B gives us an eternal home in heaven. So we have the partnership with Jesus gives us an eternal home in heaven. Verse 4, real quick. We're doing okay on time. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we see, number one, it is promised. God has promised it in his word, and we know that God is true and he cannot lie. We can trust in him. Number two, it is perfect. Is anyone else so excited about that? Oh, I love heaven. I can't wait to be. I just know it's going to be awesome. And whenever I think about the hurts, like Mrs. Gibbs talked about the other night, about the hurts that we all experience, I can't wait for heaven even more, just to know that there'll be no hurt, there'll be no pain, there'll be no more night and no more tears, that God is so good. And it makes me so thankful that the hurts that we have here on this earth, because we have so much to look forward to in heaven someday, and it's preserved. It is there. We don't have to worry about missing it, that God has it ready for us, and he in his perfect timing, and that we can just count on that. Next. Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to prevent you and to present you faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now when I read this verse, I love that verse. I love the fact that God and Jesus, he's able to keep us from falling. And I thought of my children. You know, if you ever go to a park and there's a balance beam, my little one, Curtis, he's almost 3 now. When he goes on that balance beam, he wants mommy really close by, right? Because he doesn't want to fall off. And I want to be close to him. Well, it's the same with our Lord. I don't want to be far away from Jesus so that when a temptation or a trial comes in my life and I start to lose my balance, I'm like, oh, wait, Jesus, I need you. But he's so far away because I haven't been abiding in him that he can't keep me from falling. Just like with my son, I want to be holding Curtis's hand when he's on that balance beam. So that way, when he starts to lose his balance, I'm right there keeping him from falling. And ladies, that's so important that we abide in Christ, that we stay close to him so that when those times come, when we're not as stable as we usually are, Jesus is right there to help us and to keep us from falling. Make a habit of keeping a journal. I know Mrs. Wilkerson talked about this. And taking note of, one thing that I thought about was taking note of one way that God shows himself real to you every single day. And when I was in the Philippines and Clark and I we've been praying for a long time about exactly what God had for us. There was a long time of waiting. And in that time, God just brought me to the point where I needed to know he was real. I needed to get something from his word every day. I needed to see him real every day in my life. And so every day when I have my devotions, I started a new plan, which Mrs. Martin, if you know Becky Martin in the Philippines, in her book, she talked about a Bible reading plan where you read from 10 chapters from 10 different places in the word of God. And I loved it. And sometimes I couldn't get through the whole daily plan because even just one chapter was like the Lord was working through every verse in my heart, and I couldn't get enough of it. And God was showing every day, showing himself real to me through his word. And then also just even through nature. And just since I was in maybe Bible college, I've loved butterflies, and there were just different times in my life when God would just surround me with butterflies in my father's orchard. And then one morning in the Philippines when I was just, you know, trusting the Lord and waiting on him and just wondering, God, what do you have for us? And I woke up in the morning, and as I walked to our window, as I did every single morning there, I looked outside, and the whole backyard scene was full of these tiny white butterflies. And at that moment, I know it might not seem like such a great thing, but to me, it was. And to me, it was God saying, Rachel, I love you. And through his word, when he speaks to me, he says, I love you, Rachel. And I want to speak to you, and I want to meet every single one of your needs. And God wants to do that in our lives. It could be through a message. That's why it's so important when we come to church that we don't just come and sit down and, okay, we'll listen to the message, and what are we going to do afterwards? It's important to prepare our hearts and our minds before the church service even begins, because God has something for you. And every woman, it might be different what he has and the way he's going to speak to you, but you don't want to miss it. Could be through a friend, through a Christian book that you're reading. But God wants to speak to you all the time, and we need to have our hearts open and ready to hear from him. Number two, the power of Jesus Christ. the power of Jesus Christ. Letter A, it produces security. Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Knowing just how powerful God is, it produces security in my life. I know that God can take care of anything and he's in control of everything. Number 1, we are kept. I'm so thankful that we didn't have to work for our salvation and we don't have to work to keep it, right? And number 2, we are accepted. We're accepted by God. I know so many times in my life, I want to be accepted. I want to be, even coming back here, I want to be accepted. I want people to accept us, but it's an awesome thing to know that we're accepted in Jesus Christ, that God loves us. And it's not by what we do, it's because God is love. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I remember telling Kat this, she was talking about being a dorm supervisor. I said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Kat came one summer to the Philippines and stayed with us, and such a blessing. And you know what? That is so true. And you know, in this passage, when Nehemiah told this to the people of Israel, they weren't living for God. They weren't doing right in God's eyes. And then when he read the scripture to them, they fell to the ground and just repentance, thinking, I've done wrong. I've done wrong in God's sight. What are we going to do? And they felt sorry for it. And Nehemiah said, get up, wipe your eyes. That the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, God wants to continue. He wants to use you. He's forgiven you. And that's exactly what we need to do, ladies, is God shows us in his word what we need to change in our lives. And when we see what we've done wrong, we just need to thank him for his forgiveness and for his mercy and then go on doing right. And that will bring joy to our lives and that will be our strength. Psalm 51:11-12. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And ladies, we should definitely, I don't want to be cast away from God's presence. And I don't want the Holy Spirit to leave me. I don't want to quench him. And how every day, ladies, we need to pray and ask God, fill me, use me, help me to stay close to you so that way that I can have that joy and everything that you've done for me and the joy of my salvation. And letter B, produces rejoicing. The power of Jesus Christ produces rejoicing. And we can see in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now we have rejoicing. It rests in our hope. We have, just like we spoke earlier, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our sins being forgiven, a home in heaven, and his Holy Spirit filling us and guiding us every day. And it remains through heaviness. That even though we go through trials and temptations, the Lord still wants us to have that joy and rejoicing, even through those heavy times. Many times God uses our trials to draw us near to him. And when we draw nigh to God, we can take him at his promise that he will surely draw nigh to us. And God has taught me this in so many ways. As I went over this message, I said, oh, Lord, please help me not to cry. But God is so good. And I think every lady in here, you've been through a trial, you can now thank God, right? That he has grown you through that. And you can see now what he was doing, just like Mrs. Wilkerson said. That God works. And God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes we don't understand what he's doing. But he has a purpose and he has a plan for everything that he allows into our lives. Our life should evidence that we live with the Savior, and that our wholehearted pursuit is to continue to grow in him. We need to memorize and recite scriptures all the time, but especially during times of temptation, the time when the Lord is, when you feel like Satan's right there on your shoulder, that's when we need to turn to God. We need to turn from Satan and turn to God and to his word and make it our meditation and keep our mind on the Lord. When we spend time with God and are filled by him, then we can't help but to share our love for Jesus. May he fill our hearts to overflowing. If we fill our hearts and our minds with the Lord and with his word, we will overflow. And then we can't help but to share the love of Christ with others. Now, ladies, maybe that's sometimes why we're not witnessing for Christ, is because we're not filled with Jesus ourselves, with his love. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit lives in you, but we have to be in the word of God in order to be overflowing with his love and share it with others. I read this somewhere, inner happiness is earned by the building of character. Now, of course, we build our character by what? Discipline, by reading the Bible and praying. But radiant happiness is a voluntary quality, such as smiling, cheerfulness, laughter, singing, joyfulness, bright eyes, sparkle, enthusiasm, optimism, a sense of humor, a sunny disposition, and the power to lift the spirits of others. So that is a choice, and we need to choose to live a joyful life in that sense. May our approach be like a cheerful warmth. And ladies, can you probably think of someone in your life that when you see them, their approach is a cheerful warmth? And you know when you get to talk to them, when you finally meet up with them, that they're going to have a good word, that they're going to be uplifting. Don't you want to be that way? I so want to be that way. I want to be a blessing to others, especially to my husband. And I know, ladies, you might know too, that sometimes it's so easy to be a cheerful warmth when you're out in the public, but when you get home, it's just, okay, I'm home now. Now you just start complaining. But it should be you should be a cheerful warmth everywhere, but especially, like Mrs. Wilkerson said earlier, keep referring back to her message, it was awesome. Just, you know, our main priority is being, you know, the wife and the mother. And if we're not being a cheerful warmth to our family, then God is not pleased in that. A sense of humor is important, and it's good to see the amusing side of ordinary situations, and this is very useful to help handle rough situations and turn tears into laughter. Keeping up our spirits helps us to find a solution to the problem instead of dwelling on it. And I needed that. Although Clark and I, we're pretty good at laughing at with each other and at each other. Clark laughs at me more than I laugh. And you know what? We have so much fun with it. Even Clark sometimes, and I love it. I don't know if other couples should do this, but he does impressions of me. Like when I do something kind of funny, you know, he'll act it out. And we laugh so hard. I'm like, I just love it because, you know, it just, it lightens the air, you know, and just helps you to relax, and it's not as serious as you thought, and helps you to smile and to have joy. Okay, Psalm 70, joy. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Now remember, when we seek him, then we can rejoice and be glad. And then, if we love God's salvation, then what are we going to automatically say? Let God be magnified, and he will be in and through our lives. John 16:22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Isn't that awesome? That, you know what, sometimes men or women can take our joy here on this earth. We shouldn't let it happen, but it happens. Sometimes some bad things happen. But Jesus says, someday I'll see you again, and guess what? No man will take away your joy that day. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And God wants us to praise him every day of our lives, to call upon his name, to declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. And ladies, how much are we doing that? How much are we exalting God's name in our lives and to other people? I want to do that more. Number 3, the process of Jesus Christ. It involves testing. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see that testing is precious. The testing that God allows into our lives is precious. And God wants to use that testing for his purposes. As we've heard before, it's like the refining fire. And you know, all of us have gone through things, although we sometimes feel like we're the only one going through something. And during the time of our trials, we don't understand. But God is refining us. And we should be so thankful for him doing that, because when he refines us, it has a purpose. Number 2, testing has a purpose. And the purpose is to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So we should count it a joy when something happens to us. and know that God's working in us for his good. Psalm 30, 10 through 12. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I love that. Maybe our trial, so that we won't be silent, and so that we will give thanks unto God forever. Maybe that's the whole purpose of it. And that's awesome. Letter B, involves trusting. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as we continue to grow in our trusting Jesus Christ, it grows our love, number one. As we trust him more and more, our love for him will grow more and more because we know how much he loves us. Number two, it builds our faith. As we continue to trust Jesus, our faith grows because we see him work time and time again, especially when we don't know how he's going to work or we don't see how he's going to work, and yet he works. He's awesome. Number three, intensifies our joy. And as we continue to trust, our joy grows. Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And as I studied for this lesson, there are so many verses in the Bible having to do with joy or rejoicing, but majority of them center around Jesus Christ. Right here, thy word, Jesus Christ, the word of God, was unto me joy and rejoicing of my heart. So ladies, when there are times when we feel like, I don't have joy, I've lost the joy, then it's just a sign that God gives to us that you need to be back in my word. You need to be abiding in me, and I will feel that joy in your lives. You can try other things, but we know that only works for a little bit of time, right? Only Jesus can really fill our hearts with joy. And there are a couple of the verses here, but one other I just wanted to just go over real quick is that when we obey God, especially in witnessing for him, that's another way that God will bring joy into our lives. Because when we witness for the Lord, God and Jesus, they're lifted up and other people come to know him. And that will bring joy in our lives because it's God's command for us. Now, in conclusion, we have verse Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And ladies, this is not just a ministry just for the leaders in the church. This ministry is for every single Christian, for every single person that is a child of God, and that God wants us to finish our course with joy. And the ministry that we've received is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And not just tell other people about Jesus, but to live our lives, live the gospel out in our lives, have the fruits of Spirit in our lives. And then Hebrews 12, 2, we do this by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus, he knew the joy that was set before him. He knew that he had the power of God on his side and that he was able to conquer death in the grave. And we also know that we're on the winning side. And so ladies, for the joy that's set before us to be in heaven someday with our Savior, may we live our lives faithfully. And no matter what God is bringing us through, may we have the joy of the Lord as our strength as we stay faithful to him and stay faithful in his word.